Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, NASCAR fans, welcome to the show. My name's Tony Smith. I'm alongside my partner here, the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, B?
I am excellent. How are you, sir?
Doing good, man. Hey, for those of you new to the show, we want to welcome you. We are a Detroit-based NASCAR show. We're going to be here each and every week and just talking about all things turning left. And that's our passion.
We go right once in a while.
Oh, we do. I forgot about that. And so we're just going to have a little bit of fun. We want this to be interactive with you. We're going to be give you all our social media things here in just a little while and tell you how to get a hold of us. We want your feedback, and we'll go from there. Since this is our first show, I guess it's only fair to introduce ourselves. Professor?
How's it going? All right, everyone. My name's Brandon Crowd. I am the professor. That's a little nickname that I go by in the parts of Berkeley, Michigan. I'm working on a PhD. I do some teaching down at a local university.
Which is why we call him the professor.
I have a consulting company that I've been trying to get going here. And married, no kids. I got a dog.
Named Harvick.
We'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure. Yeah, that's me in a nutshell. What about you, Tony?
All right, yeah. So yeah, I'm big race fan. It doesn't matter if they're racing lawnmowers, I'd be there watching it. But I've announced car races all across the Midwest, sports cars, NASCAR stuff, Legends, Michigan Legend Car Series, you name it. I've been there. I'm at the track, and I'm usually calling it. So this was kind of a joint venture thing. You know, Brandon and I figured, hey, we're sitting around talking about NASCAR for 30, 40 minutes to an hour every week anyways, why not press the record button? So welcome to the show, guys. So lots of great things coming on. So we got a great 2017 coming up. B, I got to tell you, the end of 2016 was phenomenal. I thought the chase was probably better than ever, especially you down to Homestead.
Yeah, it got really interesting towards the end there. A lot of drivers that I think people expected to be in the Final Four weren't in the Final Four. I know going in, a lot of the experts were picking, Martin Truex Jr. to be in the Final Four.
Of course, yeah.
He died off, man, yep. the last few races there. People were expecting Kevin Harvick to be in there. I was kind of expecting Kevin Harvick to be in there, but I digress. But the racing was great. They really showed and got out of the chase what I think they wanted to get out of the chase from NASCAR's perspective.
They made that last race count, and the chase competitors were up front fighting up until the last lap. I mean, it wasn't over until it was over.
How much of that do you think is actual them being up there? Because we've seen that the last three chase races, or three Homesteads, when Harvick won the first one, Kyle Busch won last year, and now Johnson this year. How much of that do you think is them actually being up front, or the other drivers just kind of stepping aside and letting them go race for it?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think that's a good point. There's some give and take. There's still going to be a couple of guys that are, I mean, they're hardcore racers, and they're not giving up the ground. You know, congratulations, you're in the chase. I'm winning. And I'm not going to let you buy. So there's that. And then there's, some of the other guys, they're going to say, hey, I'm not going to be the one that screwed up the chase, right? So I'm going to let it go. So I think there's an interesting mix there. It's a valid thing. But, they're still racers at heart, man. And they're going to want to win. And, they might not fight you quite as hard at Homestead as they would, a couple weeks earlier. But, yeah, they're still racers.
Well, to that point, I would have expected, especially Brad Keselowski, who had the car to beat at Talladega, got eliminated after that race there. He doesn't necessarily need to make a name for himself. He's won a championship. Yeah. He's won races. But, he would have been someone I would have expected to see go out there and race those guys hard to make a name for himself and say, hey, remember my name come 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're right. I mean, at Talladega, and in recent memory, I haven't seen this happen at Talladega. They go on a restart. They're on lap 2, 3, 4, 5. He's pulling away from the pack by himself, driving away from everyone, and his motor let go. So clearly, they had that motor set on kill, right? And they pushed it right to the absolute limit, and it let go. But, boy, you got to believe they're onto something, and they're bringing that back to Daytona.
Yeah, you typically don't see a single car pull away like that at a restrictor plate and be able to hold it.
Yeah.
He held position for laps.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get, you know, a car at a restrictor plate that might be able to take off and hold his own for a lap. But by that point in time, you know, you got a line coming up on the top or the bottom that's coming, you know,
right,
that's each up, basically, and that did not happen. I've never seen anything like that.
That's exactly my point. Is he was driving away from those rows of drafting partners. He was driving away from them.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Penske brings to Daytona, for sure. So, towards the end of that race, you know, great finish. We talked about this, you know, before, but, you know, Carl Edwards, he went way up in my book, personally, how he handled things at the end. You know, he just said, he must have locked it in his head, said, man, this restart comes. I've got the lead. This is my championship to lose. I'm not letting someone by. And you know, he just had to slam that door. Now conversely, Joey Logano is saying, I'm in second, or, you know, I'm right behind him, and if that door opens a quarter of an inch, I'm cramming my whole car through there. You know, I mean, they had to go for broke, right? And nothing you can do.
Class act on Carl Edwards' part, for sure. I've never seen Carl really lose his temper, and, you know, that would have been the time where he could have, and man, that he just handled himself with such professionalism.
But he did the opposite.
Yeah, right, exactly. He pure composure and just gentleman, true gentleman.
Absolutely. Yeah, to go over to Logano's pit box and shake the hands of his team, that showed a true competitor, but yeah, it was a sportsman move, because it's an opportunity. You're right. You could have lost your cool, and there are guys on the track that would have lost their cool.
Yep.
You know, over stuff like that. So in my opinion, he went way up, you know, in my book. But then, you know, the 48 car's right there, you know, and he grabs another one. Number seven.
It's a true feat of accomplishment right there. You know, hats off to Jimmy Johnson. We've been talking about this for a while. You know, is he going to get number eight? And I think he will, but I don't think he's going to repeat. I think it might take another year or two for him to go and get number eight. I think the class of the field right now is just so strong, so competitive. Got a lot of hungry drivers out there that I think are really going to make a push in 17.
Yeah, and absolutely. But, you know, I mean, to me, that makes it even more impressive, the level of competition that are out there. I mean, you look at his own teammates, right? Great cars out there to beat every week. The Gibbs cars, you know, they're running a whole herd of fast Toyotas. You got Martin Truex, you got the Stuart Haas guys. I mean, you know, Kurt and Kevin are coming after him. You know, I mean, there's 15, 20 guys. Let's not leave out, you know, Kyle Larson. And, you know, there's 15 to 20 guys that can legitimately win at any given time. And to pull out number seven, That's really saying something. And he had a rough beginning of the year. You know, he spun himself a few times, and things that you don't typically see out of Jimmy Johnson. But in true Hendrick style, and Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, they got it together, you know, when it was time to go. So congratulations to those guys. That's a fantastic job. Well done. So we're going to go on to new title sponsor, man. It's done 2017, Monster Cup.
We've been talking about this a little bit, too, in terms of the fact that Monster only has a two-year agreement at the moment. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe it's a test run. You know, they do a lot of cool things, I think, in other forms of motorsport, and, you know, the Supercross series and things like that. They bring out, like, a younger crowd, I think. Maybe that's what they're going to try and do. I'd like to see them bring some more, you know, to the sport. What, you know, because I didn't, you know, with sprints, you know.
Sprint, we got a setup outside, you know, the main gate. You know, that was what Sprint had, you know, in terms of other than having their name on the cup and on the TV screen, you really didn't feel a presence of Sprint at the track, or that they were doing anything in terms of trying to make the racing better. They were just pretty much hands off from all that. It was here's a big check with a bunch of money, put our name on stuff, and you know they rolled with it that way. And I don't think Monster's going to be that way. I think Monster's going to want to be more hands on and try to get it. We've talked about the ratings being, you know, in the garbage can the last few years. Attendance is down. You know, maybe Monster and their sponsorship and their ideas might start bringing those numbers back up and getting more people to track and watching on TV.
Yeah, I see Monster being a more progressive in social media and marketing than Sprint would. You know, so I think it's great for the sport. I think it'll be great if they can pull something together and certainly build attendance and viewership. You know, that's what we all want for the long term for the sport. So I think it's great. I wear my Monster cup every day. It's just good advice. I'm just saying it. So yeah. Anyways, so boom, pow. Be here all week. Try the veal. All right. So so we're heading into Daytona a couple weeks, and boy, you know there's going to be fireworks. You know there is. I love speed weeks. I love all that stuff leading up to it. Hard to pick a contender right now before they've even turned a lap with, you know, new rules and things like that. The NASCAR has put a bigger restrictor on them for super speedways. As you know, as the cars go faster, they try to slow them down. But so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you got to believe the Penske guys, like we talked about before, they're going to be something to watch. But the bigger story for me is, because there's always the big one, is the number 88 in that big one.
Yeah.
How's Junior going to handle that?
We've talked about this at length too over the last couple of weeks. You know, what's Junior's mindset getting into that car? You know, coming off of the wrecks that he had in 16, I don't think he expected to be out as long as he was. I think it's safe to assume that there's something in the back of his mind, you know, wondering, what's that next wreck going to be like? What could that possibly do to me from a mental standpoint, quality of life standpoint? And we need a healthy Dale Jr. in the sport, whether it's in the race car, in a booth, walking around. He is without question the ambassador of this sport. And I know he wants to race. He's a racer. He's got that race competitiveness in him. But I think the question becomes, you know, is he more cautious on the track because of precondition?
Right. Because when you get in that car, you know, there's no more Mr. Nice Guy. You know, you got to go. And there's guys out there on the track. You know, they have a thing in racing. I don't know if any of you are familiar with. So, in Tony Stewart's one of these guys. They're guys that you really need to watch out for on the track because they're the nicest guy in the world. They could have helped you fix your race car 10 minutes ago. As soon as they get in a car and that visor goes down, it's called red mist. And they just want blood. They just want it. You know, they're going to move you, shove you, bang you. We're going to do whatever they have to do to get by you. And that's just how it is. And those guys are fast, but they're very aggressive. Yeah, so can Junior be that aggressive again? You know, is it smart to? You know, I mean, you know, only he knows. Only he knows the answer to these things. Obviously, he has sponsor obligations and things like that. And of course, the Junior fans want to see him on the track. But personally, yeah, I'm with you, B. And I want to see a healthy Dale Junior. I don't want to see him around for a long time with the sport. You know, like you said, in the booth or as a team owner, I think he'd be a great team owner. You know, he already is in Xfinity and. You know, he brought Brad Keselowski was one of his guys that he brought up. So I'd like to see him around. Wish him nothing but the best. You know, just fingers crossed he can, you know, maybe get through a wreck or two and say, all right, everything's okay, and you know, continue on. But he was out quite a while.
Yeah, long time. But tips, hats off to Alex Bowman. He wheeled that 88 car around that track, and I'm excited to see him back out on the track. He did a hell of a job out there.
And he qualifies. What does he qualify? Does he get to go to – because he won a pole, so he gets to go to the Clash?
He is running the Clash, yeah. He's in the 88 for the Clash, which is really exciting. And, you know, what a way to start making a name for yourself. Go out there and win the Clash first race, you know, non-points race, obviously. But
yeah, hey, man. You know, it'd be good to see him back out there. I thought he did a great job. Hopefully he's back because he's in Xfinity, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so lots of changes out there this year. There's lots of teams in and out and charters and moving around and things like that. I got to share with this to you with you too. I just read this today. I haven't even shared this with him before pre-show, so I apologize for springing this on you. Fox Sports. I just read this morning. Put out their predictions.
Oh,
winning the Daytona 500,
Wait, can I guess since I don't know? Because I really haven't seen this.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I haven't seen this. Okay, I'm going to guess. Martin Truex.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Who?
They're saying the number three car goes back to
Austin Dillon.
Austin Dillon.
Wow.
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
So they had a couple other. They had a couple other. Predictions out there and begin, and this reminded me because we're just talking about Dale Jr. They're saying that Dale Jr. makes the chase.
Oh, okay. All
so,
right.
And I hope that's true.
I hope that's
good.
True. Absolutely.
That's good. So they're saying he's going to win. He's going to win at least 1 to 2 races.
Okay.
So that's what their prediction is here.
Okay.
So here's the other one.
All
and
right.
that and this one doesn't. You know, it is Fox Sports. Who knows? All right. This one didn't make much sense to me. Tony Stewart comes back for the Brickyard.
Oh,
wouldn't surprise me.
No, no.
In a Penske car.
Interesting.
Not his own car. Penske car.
Interesting. And that's coming from Fox, eh?
That's coming from Fox. And that was tweeted out today. And you know, and I saw that, and I thought, well, you know, it kind of, I mean, on one hand, it makes sense where, I mean, you think Indy, you think Penske.
Right.
I mean, almost in the same breath.
Right.
Which maybe would be why he would try that with the Penske car. But why would you not grab one of your own cars?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, well, assuming Danica hasn't wrecked everything in the garage, you know, so that could be maybe that. Okay. So maybe that's why he's going to Penske. Anyways, I thought that was just
a funny story.
Yeah. And I want to throw that out there, but wasn't even part of what we plan on talking about today. So,
hey, Tony, I'm gonna hit us with our social media.
I was just gonna go there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, as we mentioned at the intro, we are the Lap Traffic Podcast. You can follow us on just about any social media site out there. And we got smart with it. We tried to keep it all the same name across the board. So our website is thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook/thelaptrafficpodcast, Twitter @laptrafficpc. That's the only thing that varies. Twitter, I couldn't fit that whole name on there, so it's @laptrafficpc. Instagram, The Lap Traffic. YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast. So we're out there on everything. We're going to be doing some giveaways. We're going to do some retweet and follows because we need followers. We need lots of you, more than five.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know, we want to hear what your thoughts are, too. We're going to be doing Facebook surveys and giveaways and all kinds of crazy things. So what we want to hear your feedback. You know, if there's a site that we need to follow and or teams that we need to, you know, talk to, hey, let's, you know, we're all about it. So
yes,
but don't be afraid to hit us up.
We're going to do some Facebook Live before we start recording weekly. And that's the goal, to put out a weekly show midweek to be able to recap the previous race and preview the upcoming race.
And talk about your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's demand for more, we'll be here more.
Yeah.
You know? So we definitely want to make this fun, interactive. We did this mainly because we're sports guys, mainly NASCAR and racing, but you know, we love our football and baseball and all of that. And our local sports station, while it's fantastic and we enjoy listening to it, we get no NASCAR coverage, so we don't get to talk to really anybody about that from that type of perspective.
Which is absolute lunacy. We're in the Motor City, right?
Right.
How do we
right.
not have anything on racing, really?
Yes.
Like, really?
So that's why we did this. So we hope to get a lot of Detroit-based fans, but we also would like some national fans, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, man, absolutely. So funny story, how Brandon and I met. This goes back years ago. So local sports bar in there, you know, whatever, Sunday afternoon, just relaxing. And Brandon talks to the owner and says, hey, can we switch one of the TVs over to the NASCAR race? And I overhear the owner say, well, nobody wants to watch NASCAR. What are you talking about? And I leaned over and I said, I absolutely want to watch NASCAR. And he looks at both of us and he says, I had no idea I had so many rednecks for customers. So
now we have some pull in that bar, though, so it's all good.
We can watch NASCAR anytime we want. So let's talk about where we'll be this year. If you guys want to meet us, we're going to be out at a few races this year, broadcasting live from the pits. And we'd love to see you guys. Why don't you tell them?
Yeah, so we definitely will be at the June MIS race. That's a given. We will be there. We will more than likely be at the August MIS race. And we are going to go back to the Big E.
Going to Eldora, baby. And I got to tell you, man, if you guys haven't seen a race at Eldora, we went there for the truck race. We're going back for the truck race. I know it's not the Monster Cup, but man, I got to tell you, that place was fantastic. I mean, honest to God, I've probably been to 200-300 tracks, you know, in my lifetime, short tracks and things like that. This was by far the best experience I've ever had at a racetrack. It was great.
It was fantastic. It was a lot of people, which made it fun, but it wasn't an obscene amount of people. The campsites, everyone were fantastic. So much fun hanging around with, playing cornhole, barbecue and drinking, listening to music. The big block modifieds on Tuesday night were just incredible to watch. I'd never seen a big block modified race before, and
they are fast.
That was it was so much fun. I've never been covered in so much dirt before in my life. Funny story, we weren't too sure of the shower facilities heading into Eldora, and we just assumed that, you know, we had heard there were shower facilities, so we're like, okay. So we did not have a camper. We did this via tent, pickup truck, and generator was our mode of method here. And
now, to be fair, when Brandon goes, he brings his tent, and it's basically the size of a small house. He's got a queen size bed. He's got lights and fans and everything else in there. I'm just looking for the flat screen TV in there, but anyways,
well, I have my iPad with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyways,
so the shower facilities, we assumed we could have used after the race. Yeah, not so much. Those things closed at about 6 p.m. and for every race was a night race, walking out at midnight covered in dirt. Yeah, we did a water bottle shower there for a few nights,
and you know what? That's actually, we'll have to post a couple of those pictures, because when I say we were covered in dirt, I mean we were covered in dirt.
Ooh, yeah, speaking of pictures, stay tuned to the website and Facebook and all of that. You may have heard in the intro that we are broadcasting live from the NASCAR Man Cave. And by NASCAR Man Cave, I mean NASCAR Man Cave.
It's awesome.
So there's some cool pictures that I will share with everybody from the Man Cave, as well as some of pictures of us broadcasting and us out and about.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be doing a lot of that stuff. But if you get a chance to come and see us at Michigan in June, I'll probably be there in August. That's not set in stone just yet. Eldora is set in stone. The food was great.
Oh, my God.
The people were nice.
Fantastic.
What'd you have?
I had a pizza burger.
Pizza burger.
It was delicious.
Hell yeah.
You know, and that's one of the cool things about going to different tracks is seeing the different food. I was trying to explain to somebody from Florida the other day what a pierogi burger is that MIS has.
Oh, yeah.
And it is just delectable.
So personally, my favorite part of Eldora were the $3 Yingling beers.
Oh, wow. Naturally. Yeah.
True story, I came up and offered the ad, said, here's 100, just keep my tab open, I'll be back for more.
And they did.
Yeah. True story. Anyways, I wish I was even making that up. But back to the racing, anyways. Hey, guys, so lots of changes, charters, teams, you know, where drivers moving around. Biffle is out.
Biffle. We've been talking about the Biff a lot lately. He has been very confident through some of the stories that I've read that he'll be racing in 17. It's December 30th.
Yeah.
I would assume some preseason testing is going to get underway. And
in a few weeks.
In a few weeks. We're under 60 days for Daytona. You would think that ride might be locked up by this point. I would expect an announcement within the next couple days if he really does have a ride.
How much longer does that drag out? You know, are his sponsors coming with him? But more than that, who's got a car for him,
right?
There just aren't any cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
We've also talked about some manufacturer changes, one in particular, right? Stuart Haas Racing making
big the one.
Move from Chevy and Hendrick Motors to Ford and what we assume is Penske Engines. I think that's been broadcast
I think that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Stuart Haas, they've got two big changes. Not only that, they're losing their veteran driver in Tony Stewart, who's just going to be playing the owner role. I expect he'll be out at the track, and we'll see and hear from him. But we also, not only just the manufacturer change, we got Clint Bowyer coming back. Well, not coming back. He's coming back as a teammate to Kevin Harvick. They'd been teammates before.
Yeah, they were teammates at RCR.
But, he's coming back to a new ride. What kind of... What kind of regression do you expect to see with a move like that?
Yeah, it could be, you know what? It could be big, it could be small, and I guess we'll find out in the first couple races, really. You know, Talladega and Daytona will be easier for them because they can get into the draft and drive around. I think it's once we get 2, 3, 4 races in, we'll see what kind of packages they really have with the new, you know, the new manufacturer, new, you know, everything else. So they're not without resources.
No, they've got resources
to do it. I suspect they'll do pretty well, but I think there are going to be a few bumps in the road, you know, along the way. Some local noise. I don't know how much it is across the country, but a local noise in the Motor City is that Dodge wants back in.
Ooh, yes, yes. I know Jayski covered that too a little bit.
Yeah, they did. But who do they go with? I mean, there's lots of second tier teams that they could go to. You know, if they want to finish 25th to 30th, I guess there's lots of teams out there they could go with. You know, but
yeah,
you know,
we were talking about this. I think that might be their hardest thing getting back into the sport. Hendricks obviously not making a change. Stuart Haas is just making a change, so they're not going to be making one anytime soon. I don't see Joe Gibbs switching from Toyota. I don't see Chip Ganassi leaving Chevrolet. You know, I don't see Penske switching from Ford. You know, yeah, all these guys are kind of locked in with their manufacturers. So that said, okay, Dodge wants to come back in. You know, are they going to be happy with, like you said, finishing, you know, mid-pack to the end on a weekly basis just because the big dogs are already locked up?
Right, and when they got back into NASCAR, you know, obviously it was a much longer hiatus, but they got back into it, you know, a little while back, and they got into the truck series and things like that. That took them a while to even get the engine package right. So to the point that their trucks weren't competitive, the Dodge trucks weren't competitive, so they had to be given larger engine displacements to keep up with the Chevys and Fords that were already there just to balance it out a little bit. So NASCAR worked with them on things like that, but you know, it does this, the things do progress, and even they just went out, when did they go out? 5 years ago, mm-hmm. Something like that, whatever. Actually right after Brad won. So, you know, but it is going to take some time to get back in, and it takes a lot of resources, and I think that's, it's possible. You know, anything's possible. You know, how much money do you want to throw at it? That'll be something that we'll have to watch, you know, and we'll keep you tuned in on anything that we hear locally as well. You know, that is one thing about the Motor City. We do hear lots of rumors and bump into people from different manufacturers and builders and things like that. So we'll definitely keep
you
tuned in.
We know a few people in the industry.
I know a guy.
I got a guy. Yeah. I mean, we all got a guy, right?
All right,
we got a guy.
So, yeah, we'll keep you guys tuned in on some of that. You know, one of the things we talked about, too, is I didn't realize until recently how close Volkswagen was to getting into the sport. I mean, they were really close.
They were knocking on the door.
Yeah, yep. They absolutely were. But what would they be, a Volkswagen Jetta? Or I mean, what would they even...
What would their stock car be? The
yeah,
bug.
Right.
Could you see the bug?
Yeah, there you go. Herbie goes to Daytona. All right. So, anyways, they had a small diesel setback there that hit their checkbook for a little bit. So I don't know if we'll hear more about them or not. But a couple other things too, though. I mean, Petty going down to one car.
Yes. Petty making a switch. I think that was something we were both surprised to see in 16. Not that they had, you know, the class of the field from a driver perspective, but they've got the resources of Richard Petty behind them. And I would have expected with two teams having full sponsorship for the entire year, they had the resources. I was kind of surprised more in Eric Almirola than Brian Scott. You know, it was his rookie year. You know, he raced, I think, as good as he could. I got to know him a little bit, as well as some other guys from RPM over the summer. And, you know, it was just a disappointment for all of them with the amount of effort and resources and that they were putting into that. So it's a shame to see them go down to two teams. But hopefully with another year under them, you know, they can just focus on the one team. You know, put all their efforts to the one team, and you know, hopefully, we see a bounce back in RPM this year.
Yeah, I think you know, disappointing would be, you know, that'd be right at the top of the list for Richard Petty Motorsports. So we'll see how they go. We'll keep an eye on them. Roush, you know, really didn't fare any better as a 3-car team. Now down to a 2-car team, and they're tying their horses to, you know, Trevor Bayh and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Not inexperienced guys. But
just,
they're not
but just
they're,
not guys you would expect to lead your stable of cars by any mean. You know, if you not like you said, not that there's anything wrong with the two of them, but you know, where's their veteran shoulder that they can go to for notes for, hey, you know, how are you handling this corner? How you know, they're not the guys you're getting notes from. They're normally the guys reading notes from other people.
Right.
You know?
Well, I guess we're going to find out this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're either going to run or they're going to crawl. And I guess we'll find out soon enough. Ty Dillon. Back in, he's in the cup now. He took over the 13 ride from Casey Mears and Booty Barker. And so we'll see how he does. He's going to be in the Rookie of the Year contention, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, that should be good. Along with another guy, here's a guy we haven't talked about, this team, Eric Jones.
Eric Jones. I look for him to make noise.
I think so, too.
Noise.
Yeah, I do, too. Those cars, him and Martin Truex, I think they're going to be great teammates. I think they're going to absolutely be someone to watch out for.
Yep, totally. I also look, we talked about this a little bit, you know, who gets their first win next season?
Ooh. You got it, man. Well, you got to believe that Chase has knocked on that door hard.
Right? I would assume, right? Chase is going to get that win.
Well, you think that, but you know, remember we said this with Kyle Larson for a while. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. And it finally did.
Yep.
But yeah, I would say Chase. I mean, you know, Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney.
I like that. He could be a sleeper.
Ryan Blaney ran sleeper. Actually, you know, crazy. I mean, he ran well last year. You know, they're a single car team. Did better than Roush. Mm-hmm. Did better than RPM. You know, I mean, they outran those guys. And they don't have a charter. You know, they've had to race their way in, and I thought they did a great job last year. So, all right. So, what else we also? Yeah, Tommy Baldwin Racing is out.
Yeah.
BK Racing, I thought, was out. Maybe they're going to hang around a little bit. I just read that Michael Waltrip is going to come back with the Aaron's Dream Machine, BK Racing.
Yep.
Guy can't get enough of restrictor plate
right.
Stuff. So, but you know, I mean, can they come up with 40 cars even
right.
this year?
I think they will for their big races.
Sure.
You know, I think maybe for some of our lesser entertainment races, you know, maybe we only see 38, 36 cars out there.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever the charters are, you know, could be some of the fields.
Yeah, I think you might be right. So, as what things are winding down here, we're going to go into 2017 champs. Okay, we're going to write this down. We'll lock it in and keep you guys posted.
We're going to lock it in right now.
We're locking it in right now.
All right. I think you've got your set, so go ahead. I've been arguing back and forth with myself today, so I'm going to let you make your pick for 17, and then I'm gonna come out with mine.
You know, we talked about him earlier, just running hard, and a guy who just races as hard as he can every day. And I think when he brings a car back to the trailer, it is used up, and that's going to be Bad Brad, Brad Keselowski. I think he's gonna bounce back, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder after Talladega. He's got something to prove now.
I think he does. All right, so mine is... And I'm not changing. I said this the other day. Kyle Busch.
Didn't see that one coming.
I'm not happy to admit that, but I think that's who's going to do it.
You know, my alternate pick actually would have been his teammate there, Carl Edwards. Yeah,
Edwards.
I think he's going to have a good 17 as well. So, B, why don't you hit us up one more time on the social media stuff?
All right. So, laptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook at the Lap Traffic Podcast. Twitter at the Lap Traffic PC, Instagram and YouTube Lap Traffic Podcast. I think we'll hit Facebook pretty hard, Twitter pretty hard.
Yeah.
YouTube, maybe we'll post some of our stuff up there.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we'll get some pictures out there on Instagram. And like I said, stay tuned for some giveaways. We've got a ton of autographs. You know, and if as we get stuff in, we're gonna get it out to you guys to hopefully draw an audience and. You know, send us your comments, your feedback, what you like, what you don't like, and we'll adapt to you guys. That's why we're here. We love talking about it. Like Tony said, you know, why not hit a record button? So we got some equipment, some instruction, and here we are. So let us know what you guys want to hear, and
We'll go with it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City.
See ya.